If you're looking for an affordable carry firearm and you want the security and accuracy of the time-tested 1911 pistol, choose Citadel. Lightweight, sturdy, and available in 9mm or 45 ACP, the Citadel delivers right out of the box, with features usually reserved for custom pistols. The officer's model is perfect for concealed carry and is available through Legacy Sports International. Visit LegacySports.com to find a dealer today.
From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio. Educating, informing,
and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. This is the safest radio studio in all of America. I can promise you that. I can assure you that. If you could see behind me right now, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want to welcome you to the program today. And I've got to tell you, before I get started, just a few personal words from my heart to you, the Armed American Radio family. And I do consider you family, all of you, and the many thousands of people I've heard from over the years. It's been a difficult day for me personally and the Armed American Radio family. As a member of our Armed American Radio extended family here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, suffers tonight. So I dedicate this show to our Armed American Radio Crossbreed Holster extended family. And all of them, believe me, are your family also. And that means a lot to me. And I know it means a lot to you, as I see this time and time again in your emails. So I'm asking you personally to reach out in your hearts today and say a prayer and ask for strength for the Armed American Radio family. Sometimes real life throws curveballs, and when it does, it can be very, very difficult. So we soldier on today on Armed American Radio, and we bring you the best education, the best information, and best entertainment that we can muster up for you. And I can promise you today is going to be a huge, huge broadcast. The lineup is gigantic. Rob Pincus will be here, famed trainer and expert, in just a few moments. He will be joined by edged weapon blade expert Alessandro Padovani. And you will love Alessandro's his accent. Now, he's been on the program before. It's been a while. But I'm going to kind of turn it loose to Rob and let you hear a conversation that we don't get a lot of here on Armed American Radio, and that's the edged weapon. Now, you've heard me say many times, I'd rather be shot than stabbed, and let me tell you something, I stand by that. Knives are very dangerous weapons, and bad guys who use them are very dangerous people, far more dangerous than someone who will attack you from afar with a firearm and run away afterwards. Individual bad guys with knives are very, very dangerous people who have an intent to get up on top of you, and we'll be talking to these two. And like you, I'm a fan. I will sit back and listen to some of that conversation. Following Rob and Alessandro, Hollywood comes to these Crossbreed Holster Studios today. I'll be joined from Los Angeles, twice from L.A. today, by the way, interestingly, but in the first hour, by movie producer Terry Benedict. He is the producer of Mel Gibson's latest blockbuster, Hacksaw Ridge. He's also the director and producer of The Conscientious Objector, critically acclaimed documentary on the life of Medal of Honor recipient Desmond Doss. This is really good stuff. If you've seen Hacksaw Ridge, I was fortunate enough to get an advanced DVD for preparation for the show before it came out to the general public. And let me tell you something. And I'll tell Terry this when he's on the program. I can't wait to talk with him. But this movie blows Saving Private Ryan away. This is very powerful. If you haven't seen this, you need to. It is about the life of Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector who saved countless men during the most vicious and bloody battles in the Pacific. In particular, 75 individuals, 75 people. Gosh, just unbelievable stuff. So You don't go anywhere. You want to hear this. I can promise you. Very, 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 very powerful it will be with Terry. Then, hour two, Alan Corwin Experience for a solid hour, followed by Oregon Broadcaster of the Year, radio host Victoria Taft, and Kevin Starrett from Oregon Firearms Federation discussing the incredible case of Mike Strickland, the videographer, journalist in Oregon, now facing 50 years in an Oregon penitentiary for using a lawfully carried firearm to defend himself from a vicious, violent, progressive mob. This story will just send your blood boiling. It is an outrage. And Victoria has agreed to stay here with me from her studios and talk with both Kevin and myself for the entire hour. It is going to be an absolute dynamite program. So it's a great lineup. So let's get started. And let me bring in Rob Pincus and Alessandro. Rob, let me do this. I don't know if you heard my intro, but I just, without getting particular, you know who I'm talking about. And I you know, our hearts go out today for the entire Armed American Radio family. I know you feel the same.
Yeah, it's been, you know, obviously a crazy couple of days for everybody back there. And they've been in our thoughts. And I know a lot of the thoughts across the community and just everybody, just inside the industry, the customers, they are a family. And, you know, I consider myself an extended part of that family. I'm sure they consider you as an extended part of that family as well. And we've been thinking about them all weekend. And our thoughts are still with everybody there.
Yeah, prayers, please, from listeners. It's needed now more than ever, and it makes a huge difference. So, all right, Rob. On that note, let's soldier on. Let's move forward. I want you to kind of take the microphone from me, introduce Alessandro. He's been on the program. It's been a long time, but I want to hear like a fan. I want to hear you guys talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Alessandro Padovani is in town here with Safer Faster Defense. I'm out at the Western HQ in Colorado. We're going to be doing some video work tomorrow for Personal Defense Network. You know, we talked about our distance education, the expansion of our distance education. And one of the things we're going to be doing in an online class that will be released later this year is edged weapons for defense and the practical and sort of everyday aspects of carrying a knife that you may implement as a defensive tool and training with that knife as a potential defensive tool, whether it's as a complement to a firearm instead of a firearm or, you know, in the case of what I'm about to do when we get off the call, I'm going to be cooking dinner for Alessandro over at the house, and I'll have all kinds of cutlery in my hands at different points in the evening. And if there was a home invasion at that moment, I might use that knife as a home defense tool right there because it's in my hand, because it's easily accessible. And I think that's true at some point in the day for, you know, just about everybody that cooks, you know, has that well-equipped kitchen. So what Alessandro does for years, he's been working with us for years, he's a combat-focused shooting instructor. He's been a contributor to Personal Defense Network for a number of years. He's one of the senior staff for me at IC Training Company. And he just teaches so well. You know, he understands people. He understands communication. And he understands the human body. He understands the nature of personal defense, whether it's with a firearm, with a knife, with an improvised tool, or he has extensive experience in the unarmed arts as well. So when he started really looking to branch out sort of what he was doing with me and our team from the firearms, the knife is something that he's always taught and always been interested in, always had a passion for. And it took me years to realize just what a wealth of knowledge he really, really is in that area. And I'm really proud to have him on the PDN team and glad to help you introduce him to the Armed American Radio audience that's listening tonight because he's got a lot of really interesting things to say. And Alessandro, I'm going to turn it over to you. And if you would, just start with like maybe a little bit of your background, how you get into approaching a knife as a defensive tool and a 50,000-foot view of what everyone who carries a knife or is around knives every day should be thinking about.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that intro. I think I need to tape it and listen to it to feel really good about myself. My approach to the knife really comes from, growing up in Italy. Italy is very restrictive about gun carry for self-defense. So, you know, the next best thing is a knife. Then I moved around, I traveled around the world and backpacked to many different places. And again, I didn't have the option of a firearm, but the knife was always there with me. So I studied martial arts growing up, and I kept that training when I moved to San Francisco, again, another place where firearms are not really readily available to law-abiding citizens. And there I really kind of got pretty deep into knife-related martial arts, Korean style, with Michael De Alba, Filipino styles, and so on and so forth. Now, like in many aspects of martial arts, the tendency is try to get as complicated as possible, right? Generally speaking, martial artists get, they get satisfaction out of performing extremely complex and fine motor skills, right? Which is awesome, but it doesn't really translate well in the self-defense realm. We kind of know, and I'm pretty sure that the listeners of Arm American Radio have a better understanding than most about the true nature of self-defense engagement, right? So,
Alessandro, quickly, it's Mark. I'll tell you, we have 15 seconds. So what I want to do, I want to stop you right there. I hate to interrupt you, but I want to stop you right there. And then when we come back from the break, I'm going to bring you right back in. And I've got a couple questions for you about that line where you're going so that we can pick up the conversation. Does that sound fair?
Sounds good.
Great. I'm talking with Rob Pincus, famed firearms expert, trainer, self-defense instructor, and Alessandro Padovani. We're talking about edged weapons. This conversation's about to get really good. Don't go away. I will be right back with my guests right after these messages.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio.
Doesn't help to have guns owned by only good people because bad people still get them.
Yeah, that's exactly why we need them.
Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you, I'm going to turn it right back over to Rob Pincus and Alessandro Padovani. Alessandro, let me ask you this question to get you started here. I made comments at the beginning of the show, and I've said this for years on the radio program. Knives scare me to death. Someone attacking me with a knife is far more dangerous. And I've interviewed many people who have been attacked or had people approach them with knives. This is a very personal attack. It's not from afar. The person carrying the knife must be right up on top of you. Is the knife the right tool for everybody if they can't carry a gun?
Well, that's a very good point. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, you know, reflect the same sentiment, like, you know, I'd rather be shot than stabbed, which is kind of, you know, silly on its face because we know that, you know, rounds can do a lot more damage, but the knife is a lot more intimate, it's a lot more gruesome, it's very up close and personal. So by that token, it's not for everybody in the sense that you need to develop the tactics is the last thing that you need to worry about. You need to develop the proper mindset so that you can be able to do, you know, damage up close and personal. And, you know, remember, there's going to be blood, there's going to be smell, there's going to be noise, right? But everybody can develop that right mindset because, you know what, if you can't carry your gun, then we don't really want you being empty-handed, you know? And so with a knife, through ready-based training, through proper training, you can develop a mindset that will help you to employ it, even if it face value is going to be the last thing that you want to do, right?
All right, so we're talking about life and death here. Whatever is in your hand is better than nothing. Is that what you're telling me, right?
Exactly. And also, okay. Like, we developed some like psychological, like, little tactics that may help the average person to fight back with a knife fiercely, in a sense that, you know, you don't ever want to just fight for yourself. You're always fighting for yourself, for your loved one, right? So you may be, be having doubt in using a knife to defend yourself. But if you imagine that behind you, it's your loved one. And the only thing that stands between the bad guy and your loved one is you. Now, you know, it's psychologically, you defer that fear and that resistance to do some harm because you're doing it for somebody that you love, right? So even when you're on your own, if you train properly, you can use those same psychological tricks, if you will, to help you be effective with the knife.
All right, that's fascinating. Rob, let me turn this over to you and ask you a question about, well, I'll tell you what, because of shortness of time, let me just turn it back over to you and let you take that conversation forward with Alessandro, okay?
Yeah, I think the one of the most important things to realize is that, you know, I don't know very many people who carry a gun who don't carry knives regularly.
Right.
And I know a lot of people who don't carry guns who do carry knives regularly. And the question is, you know, have you trained? Have you thought about it? It's the same question that we ask to gun owners. You know, we know only a small percentage of gun owners actually go train. And a large, you know, it's a larger percentage of concealed carry permit holders, but it's still a relatively small percentage of concealed carry permit holders that go out and get extra training beyond the bare minimum, in which case, in most cases, is not enough. The bare minimum to earn the certificate to carry is not enough training. Well, you can carry the knife in most places without any certificate, without any training. And I think that maybe people just have this false sense of security that they're carrying a quote-unquote backup defensive tool or an alternative defensive tool. But if they haven't trained, if they haven't thought about how to use it, the chances of them even being able to deploy it and get it into use are probably pretty slim under realistic circumstances. And that's one of the things that Alessandro addresses incredibly well and in his Safer, Faster Knife programs. And, you know, I think that it would behoove everyone to take a look at his information online. Obviously, you can use the search engine. You can go to saferfasterdefense.com. And he's got DVDs. He's got a lot of articles he's written. And we're getting ready to do this distance education course. I think, and if not from Alessandro, from someone, because this is an area that's neglected in the sense that if you're carrying a knife, have you trained? Have you thought about it? Have you practiced right. it? And the answer is usually right. going to be no.
Alessandro, let me ask you this. I've got to follow up and go once. Rob brought up a great point, so let me elaborate on that. Is there a specific knife that folks, that you would recommend folks carry that's better than another? For example, I'm talking about a fixed blade, maybe in a sheath on the belt, that can be deployed without having to reach into a pocket or open or flick a knife open. You know, a lot of people might look at that as having a safety on a gun versus a Striker Fire Glock or something like that. Is there one that you would recommend for learning how to fight with?
Yes, absolutely. Like, as you mentioned, you know, a fixed blade knife takes away a lot of the finer motor skills that you may need to deploy a folder, right? The problem with fixed blade knife, it becomes legal because there are more and more states now where you can carry a fixed blade concealed, like in Colorado where I'm at, Florida, Idaho, and so on and so forth. So and Nevada as well. So that would be awesome because it's more solid. You don't have problem with locking mechanism failure. You don't have the issue of having to deploy the knife under stress. You know, a fixed blade, you grip it and it's out and it's ready to go. So that would be an ideal solution. In the states where that's not possible legally, then the folder becomes the next best thing. A folder with a kind of a wave opening mechanism, you know, so that as you deploy from the pocket, with some good training, it can open already by itself, or a flipper, you know, something on the spine of the knife that you can use to deploy the blade open with the least amount of finer motor skills, if you will.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Apart from that, the main thing is ergonomics. The knife is a tool, right? When you use it to defend yourself, you're going to exercise a lot of force, and you may hit flesh, you may hit a belt, you may hit a button, you may hit something hard. So you want a knife that is secure in your hand, fits your hand well, as a good guard, whether it is a folder or a fixed blade, you need to have a really good guard so that your hand doesn't travel forth on the blade and get damaged. And apart from that, we need to make people understand that the blade geometry and the blade length, which is what a lot of people focus their attention on because it's, you know, the prettier knife or whatever, that's really not important. If you keep your blade sharp, it's going to do the damage it needs to do. And a 3-inch blade can do all the damage that you need, basically. Because if you think about it, you know, the metal of the 3-inch blade is going to penetrate deeper than the 3 inches because our body is pliable, if you will. So if you apply pressure, you know, the softer material gives way. So really focus on ergonomics and a good guard. And if you can go for a fixed blade, absolutely. If not, choose a very solid built folder.
All right, you know, this is a brutal topic, ladies and gentlemen. It really, truly is. We're talking about self-defense of your life in an imminent death situation. We're talking about literally hand-to-hand combat. That's what we're talking about, civilian hand-to-hand combat in a life-and-death situation. This happens on American streets every single day. If you don't believe me, pick up your local paper and read it. Now, we've got 30 seconds, guys, so I want to close it with this. And, Alessandro, you made another brilliant point that we're fighting for our loved ones, even if they're there or not. Even if they're not there, we want to fight to survive, to come home to them. They depend on us. So great points all the way around. Personal Defense Network, Alessandro Padovani. Alessandro, thank you for being here. Looking forward to bringing you back to the program in the near future. We won't leave it as long as it was the last time that I believe you were here quite some time ago. Rob Pincus, we know where to find you, brother, all over social media. Personal Defense Network. That was Rob Pincus, famed trainer, and Alessandro Padovani, famed knife edge expert. Okay, edge weapon expert. We will be back with Hollywood. Terry Benedict, Mel Gibson's producer on Hacksaw Ridge, telling the story of Okinawa campaign and Desmond Doss, who fought without a weapon and saved countless lives. We'll be back.
Hello, gun lovers. Did you get the brand new gun you wanted for Christmas? If not, don't worry. I've got some big news for you. You know, I proudly support the Second Amendment, which is why I'm a United States Concealed Carry Association member. And since the USCCA's mission is to train, protect, and ensure responsibly armed Americans, just like you and me, they're giving 10 of my listeners $1,500 each to buy a brand new Kimber. But this deal won't last long, so make sure you head over to defendthem.com. Lock in your 10 chances to win. If you didn't get your dream Kimber for Christmas, I know you're not going to want to miss out on the biggest Kimber giveaway yet. Remember, 10 names will be drawn, so that means 10 U.S. residents, 21 and over, will walk away with $1,500 to buy a brand new Kimber. Entering is easy, and it's 100% free. Just visit defendthem.com before it's too late. Again, that's defendthem.com, where your 10 chances to spend $1,500 on your dream Kimber are about to end. Defendthem.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast is sponsored by Alien Gear Holsters. Visit them at aliengearholsters.com. Now back to Mark Walters.
Feed, please. Welcome back to Armed American Radio, the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. I've been a little rough coming in from the break as we're reaching out to our guest out in Los Angeles. Bear with me. We've got 3-hour difference in time, and sometimes the schedule gets a little bit messed up. But we're hoping to talk very soon. He's been scheduled for a couple weeks now with Terry Benedict, who is the producer, Mel Gibson's producer on the film Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but boy, I got to tell you what, it is a powerful story. For somebody like me who is a student of the Civil War, in particular Gettysburg and Antietam, these amazing battles that occurred 150 years ago, and then moving up to the greatest generation the battle, the great battles of World War II, both in the European theater, of course, and the Pacific campaign. In really, to me, the Pacific campaign, which saw some of the most brutal combat this world has ever seen. And the story told by Mel Gibson in Hacksaw Ridge of Desmond Doss, just to give you some quick background, Desmond Doss was a conscientious objector, medic, who almost didn't make it, almost was not allowed into combat, was able to join his comrades and saved countless lives without a firearm as a medic, in particular in Okinawa, over 75 people. I understand we have Terry on the line now. Let's go over to Terry Benedict. Terry is a producer of Hacksaw Ridge with Mel Gibson. Terry, welcome to the program, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, tell this. I first off, let me thank you for sending out the advanced copy. I was able to get this and watch this movie. I can't tell you how many times. I think I've seen it four or five times since I got it. It's an incredible story. Tell me what it was like from your end telling the story.
Well, it's been a major part of my life since I was 10 years old. I grew up in a family. My parents decided we didn't need a television growing up, so they wanted us to go out and play kick the can and then read books. So I, like most boys, reading, gravitated towards stories about heroes and World War II stories, Guadalcanal Diary, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, that sort of thing, Pearl Harbor, of course. And then I came across this book called The Unlikeliest Hero, and it was a story of Desmond Doss. It was about this guy who was a conscientious objector, and the men that he was serving with really harassed him, abused him, and then he saved 75 of their lives up on a cliff in Okinawa called Hacksaw Ridge, and he never carried a gun. So, you know, my little pea brain 10-year-old mind was trying to wrap and do the math on, you know, on that whole kind of story, and it just stuck with me. And then I got to meet Desmond a couple years later at a church summer camp when I was about 12.
Wow.
And then and he was just a really super humble man who really cared about youth and wanted their moral compass to be set straight. And you really got the feeling that he cared and loved you, and all the other kids that were with me at the time all felt the same way. And then I reconnected with him in the late 90s, a couple of Medal of Honor reunions, and I really got to see firsthand how those guys really set him apart in a positive way. And in fact, they appointed him as their chaplain several times. And then, you know, he never wanted to be glorified. He really wanted that to always be pointed towards God. And he also was concerned that Hollywood would compromise his character. And they've been chasing after him since 1945 when he got the medal. And so I, as my relationship developed with him, I told him there were some really inspirational universal themes that I thought we all in the world could benefit from and aspire to. And so one day I was standing out front of a grocery store in Chattanooga, Tennessee, talking to him about this, and he was voicing his concerns again. And, you know, I told him, I said, listen, I'll answer to God first, you second, and everybody else can get in line. And he laughed and he said, okay, let's do it. And so the strategy was to do the documentary first, which we did. It took me 4 years to do. And then we started, and I started in with Bill Mechanic developing Hacksaw Ridge, the feature.
The documentary, tell us about the documentary. The name of the documentary, if I'm not mistaken, is The Conscientious Objector, correct? That was the first time you,
right,
you moved on this project, and that led you into Hacksaw Ridge. How did you hook up with Mel Gibson? First, tell us about the documentary and then how you hooked up with Mel on this.
Well, Desmond was already pretty old back then, you know, in 99, 2000. And you know, we used to joke, and as my relationship developed with him, I'd joke about the fact that he wasn't going to be around forever. And he'd say, what do you mean I'm not? And I said, listen, when you kick the bucket, nobody's gonna believe this story because your Medal of Honor citation reads like a big fish story. It's just too unbelievable because of all the acts of valor that had transpired and him getting that medal. And so I told him, I said, listen, if there's anybody still alive with shared war experience, I really want to get that preserved in perpetuity. And so that's what started the documentary process. And I thought it was going to take about a year and a half. And it, of course, it took me twice as long and cost twice as much. But I knew we only got one shot to tell this story while these men were still alive. In fact, his medical office, commanding officer, who gave him a lot of grief, as well as Jack Glover, he passed away two weeks after I had interviewed him, and several of the other guys didn't last long either. So we got that done just in time. And while I was in post-production, I met Bill Mechanic through another producer, David Permit, who also worked on Hacksaw. And Bill had been the former president of 20th Century Fox during the Titanic Castaway days. And he knew Mel from Braveheart, having worked with him on that project. And so it was to Bill's credit that he championed the project. I really felt confident in Bill. There were a lot of other producers and production companies I talked to along the way at the time, but Bill really got the fact of the importance of the story and the need to protect the integrity of the story. And he championed the project for the next decade to until we got he got Mel on board. And once we got Mel on board, then we got the green light.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, as a student of history, I'm like you. I sense that about you, that when you talk with them. Now, we lost Desmond in 2006. Is that right? Is my date right there? In 2006.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how old he was, but it is difficult for me to wrap my head around, particularly when I saw the movie. This is the greatest war film I've ever seen. And knowing a little bit of history about Desmond Doss brought it all. Really, it's tough to watch if you have a patriotic bone in your body, but it is so gosh darn inspirational to see, to realize that this actually happened. Now, I have personally, like you, had the opportunity to shake hands with men, with Marines, who fought island to island in the Pacific, and it is an almost surreal experience when, like me, history comes to life when you meet these individuals. I'm assuming it was the same way with you, with Desmond, it seems like it. So it was I guess that made it easier for you to bring this film to life and made sure that you wanted to tell it the right way?
Well, Desmond's story is certainly unique, and it's amazing because even after people had seen the documentary, they said, "I never knew this story. I never heard of this guy."
Right.
And that was the big reason. Obviously, people would say, "Well, why are you going to go make a movie when you made this great documentary?" And it's like, because a lot of people still haven't seen this story, and it's a whole nother, many times another audience, certainly, obviously, globally, And Desmond, and you're right, meeting these veterans whose sands of time were really, really thin was very inspirational. I just developed such great admiration. They all became like my surrogate grandfathers. And the fact that they were willing to unload, you know, that generation never talked about their experiences for the most
right.
part. And so their families were totally in the dark. And when they... this wasn't me going in for an hour or two interviewing them. I literally interrogated them practically for 8 to 10 hours a day for a couple of days each. And so I gave them really a chance to unload
and open up. Hey, Terry, let me ask you a quick question. We're getting ready to take a break. We were a little bit late getting
you.
Can I ask you, can you stay through with a 4-minute break and then come back with me for a couple more minutes so I can wrap up with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much. Producer Terry Benedict. We'll be right back. Hacksaw Ridge, unbelievable movie. The story of Desmond Doss. We'll continue the conversation next.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call?
Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hello, gun lovers. Did you get the brand new gun you wanted for Christmas? If not, don't worry. I've got some big news for you. You know, I proudly support the Second Amendment, which is why I'm a United States Concealed Carry Association member. And since the USCCA's mission is to train, protect, and ensure responsibly armed Americans, just like you and me, they're giving 10 of my listeners $1,500 each to buy a brand new Kimber. But this deal won't last long, so make sure you head over to defendthem.com. Lock in your 10 chances to win. If you didn't get your dream Kimber for Christmas, I know you're not going to want to miss out on the biggest Kimber giveaway yet. Remember, 10 names will be drawn, so that means 10 U.S. residents, 21 and over, will walk away with $1,500 to buy a brand new Kimber. Entering is easy, and it's 100% free. Just visit defendthem.com before it's too late. Again, that's defendthem.com, where your 10 chances to spend $1,500 on your dream Kimber are about to end. Defendthem.com.
Defensive shooting is a dynamic event that requires a lot of decisions to be made within a short amount of time.
Microseconds.
When deciding to engage, the shooter needs to transition from focusing on the threat to focusing on the front sight. When adrenaline is pumping, excess night sights are the most visible sight option for a self-defense situation. We hope you never need them, but if you do, you'll be glad you have them. Visit XSSights.com and use promo code USCCA10 to get 10% off your next purchase, giving you the defensive edge. XS Night Sights.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, USCCAOnAir.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAOnAir.com. Don't miss out.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Filling your prescription for freedom. Here's the host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, and I'm continuing the fascinating discussion with film producer Terry Benedict out in L.A. Terry, welcome back to the show. I don't think people know that you were involved in The Terminator and Marked for Death. These are classic movies. I didn't know you were, and you later went on to produce and direct The Conscientious Objector about the fascinating story of Desmond Doss, and then, of course, the latest Hacksaw Ridge, which is just off the hook amazing. You were saying, and I want to continue the discussion, before we were rudely interrupted by the break, and that was that, like me, you said you were fascinated when you meet these people. Would you care to elaborate a little bit?
Well, there is so much... I remember when my grandmother was on her deathbed and she was at a hospital and she was just plain out, worn out, an old farm woman, pushing 90. And she had, when she brought me up, she had just told me so many wonderful, colorful stories. And I remember when she was virtually passing on, the great sadness was, I was losing her, but even more so, I was losing all that was in her mind, all the history, all the stories, everything. And that's what I was acutely aware of. And so when I was interviewing these guys, I got that same old feeling back that I had with my grandmother, was that all of this history that these guys had lived and been through was soon going to be all lost. And that's why I didn't just want to spend an hour or two with them. I would spend days with them. And I really grew to fall in love with them because, and have such a deep respect for them because they never would talk about this stuff. And now that they finally were, it was just like there was gold laying all around as a result of it.
Boy, that's so true. That is so true. Take that from someone who has, like you, had the opportunity to talk with these incredible people. It is really just fascinating, living, breathing history right in front of us. And we never get to hear these amazing stories, which is what I found so fascinating about Hacksaw Ridge. I mean, I knew the story of Desmond Doss, but not intimately like the movie told it. Now, this thing is accurate historically from round one all the way to the closing bell. When you saw and heard what this man did, tell us about what he did up on Hacksaw Ridge. Unarmed, by the way, unarmed.
Right. Well, you know, the Okinawan invasion by the Allied forces was bigger, really, than D-Day. The fact of the matter was this was the last stand before going to mainland China. So the Japanese had years to tunnel into this one particular ridge. They had done several ridges on Okinawa, but they had 3 or 4 years to tunnel in, and they had a whole division buried in this ridge. And they could live there for 30 days without any support. So when the 96th Infantry actually attacked, as was part of the attack on Hacksaw, they were totally decimated. And so when you see in Hacksaw, unfortunately, the carnage that happened, our infantrymen were stacked like cordwood, literally, these boys were up against something very, very tough, not to mention the 125-foot cliff with another 300-foot, 45-degree rake getting up to that cliff. So they had their work cut out for them. And Desmond had, when he grew up, he had a thing about just this altruistic feeling of serving mankind and helping your fellow brothers, and even in a local community. He wasn't even thinking about military, but his mother really imbued him with a sense of a strong moral compass, spiritual values, and it was more than just going to church, you know, every week kind of thing. And so he wanted to be a combat medic. He had a legitimate chance to be deferred because he was working as a welder at the Navy shipyards in Virginia. And he didn't want to do that, even though, you know, he could. And so he enlisted, and they made him, because he didn't want to carry a gun, and also because he was a Seventh-day Adventist and didn't want to work on the Sabbath, they made him a conscientious objector, which he would joke about and say he was a conscientious cooperator. And, of course, that didn't fly so well with leadership from boot camp on up. And so the thing that this wasn't a matter of being harassed for 6 weeks in boot camp, by the way. The 77th Division was the most well-trained division of all of the war. And the reason was because they would go and get trained for cliff climbing because they thought they were going to invade Italy. They thought they were going to invade North Africa, so they trained for desert training. That didn't happen. They went to jungle training. So for 2.5 years, the whole division was training. They were training together as a division, which is a very unique experience as well during that time. And so for 2.5 years, these guys harassed, abused, tried every which way to get him kicked out, including they were going to hold a Section 8 trial for him, and that didn't work out until they were finally told, look, President Roosevelt wrote an executive order that said conscientious objectors and had a legitimate reason to be still to stay in the ranks, and you have to abide by that. So at that point, they just hated him and thought he was going to be the weakest link in the chain. But once they started, they started their military campaign, fighting campaign in Guam, and went through the Leyte, the Philippines, and then finally in Okinawa. And during this time, over the year and a half that it was, Desmond's reputation started to grow and the respect started to grow. So by the time they got to Hacksaw, they had a respect for him, but the big heroic act hadn't happened yet. They saw him saving men and throwing himself in the line of fire and that sort of thing. But
we've got about 30 seconds just to let you know.
Okay. So they got up on top of that hill and they were decimated. 155 men in the company went up and only 35 came back under their own power. And obviously some were killed, and Desmond was credited with letting 75 down on a rope, injured on a cliff, 125-foot cliff. And so his own men that hated him are the ones that recommended him for the Medal of Honor.
And he became forever then a hero in many, many minds. And it is, to me, a tragedy that that story is not taught in every school in America. But I got to tell you, Terry, first of all, I want to thank you for staying over a little bit with me. And I want to thank you. And if you get a chance, tell Mel thanks on behalf of this program and my listeners and hundreds of cities around the country for the incredible effort that you guys put together to bring Hacksaw Ridge to the big screen. It's incredible. And it's a story that every American needs to see. And I got to tell you, if you've got a patriotic bone in your body, it's tough to watch this because you know that this is factually accurate. And it is what this man did single-handedly. Terry Benedict, thank you so much for everything that you did to bring both the Conscientious Objector. Make sure to check out the Conscientious Objector and Hacksaw Ridge. Thank you, Terry, for being here. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
And, in fact, you know, it's interesting, Shanto. I'm watching right now a trailer for the movie on one of the monitors that just came up. So sometimes when you hit the right note, you hit the right note. What an amazing program. I've still got more for you. Don't go away. When we come back, it gets even better. I can promise you it's going to get better. And that's that first hour was tough to beat, but my gosh. Oh, boy. Wow. All right. Armed American Radio continues after this. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Enjoy this closing music, and I'll see you right after these messages.
Prescription for Freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car.
which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.